Hi, this is Daniel Garber with Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FA. Guillermo del Toro, the celebrated director who splits his work between Mexico and Canada, has curated a series of classic Canadian horror movies, now playing at the TIFF Lightbox this weekend. I happen to have seen every one of them myself, and I totally agree with his selection. You can catch Canadian gems like the feminist werewolf drama Ginger Snaps, Vincenzo Natali's cult hit Cube, or Kyle Edward Ball's experimental Skinamarink, and many more. But this week, I'm looking at three new movies from abroad. A surreal fantasy from Spain, a political documentary from Brazil, and a period drama from New Zealand. Daniela Forever, written and directed by Nacho Vigalondo. It's present-day Madrid. Nicholas, played by Henry Golding, is a popular DJ in the city's hottest nightclubs. But he's thrown into a deep depression when his girlfriend, an artist named Daniela, played by Beatrice Grano, is killed by a negligent driver just outside his home. But things take a turn for the better when a good friend of his, Victoria, played by Natalie Poza, tells him of a new experimental drug that might be just what he needs. But it's top secret, filled with non-disclosure clauses, and requires regular visits to the pharmaceutical labs. So scientists there tell him each pill, if taken just before bed, will produce lucid dreams. That means real visions where he can control the content and won't forget about them when he wakes up the next day. This means he can bring Daniela back to life, at least while he sleeps. But he soon discovers its limitations. He can't dream about something he's never seen before. If he turns down an alley in the dream that he's never visited, it ends up covered in unformed, writhing gray matter. Kind of creepy. So Daniela seems artificial at first, but as time progresses, she starts turning real. She even produces creative ideas and thoughts that he doesn't remember ever experiencing in the awake world. And far from seeming ethereal, his lucid dreams are now widescreen images in living color, while awake time is small, square, and drab. He can take Daniela to new places just by thinking about where he's going and opening a door. And he can change the city of Madrid into something out of one of her paintings. But he soon realizes not everything is going the way he planned. And when things from his dream world start appearing in awake time, he has to wonder what is real and what is a dream. Can he be in love with someone who doesn't exist? And can she ever love him if she's just a figment or a figure of his imagination? Forever Daniela is a highly creative science fiction romance about love, death, mourning, and reality. While it sounds like a Black Mirror jump scare thriller, it actually avoids most bad things, except for the sadness of mourning. It also has a very surprising twist at the end. No spoilers, of course. The film is Spanish, but most of the dialogue is in English. Henry Golding, you probably saw him in Crazy Rich Asians, is appealing as the leading man, but he runs into a bit of acting trouble when he tries to do a full-fledged meltdown. That's only a short part. The special effects are excellent, fooling around with unusual concepts like daytime light and shadows in a nighttime environment. I quite like the writer-director Nacho Vigalondo for the way he incorporates horror movie elements within an otherwise realistic content, like his film Colossal a few years back. So if you're looking for something that's surreal and supernatural, but told in a positive, though bittersweet way, I think you'll like Daniela Forever. Apocalypse in the Tropics, written and directed by Petra Costa. Brasilia, a capital city designed, planned, and built from the ground up, was meant to be modern, secular, and democratic. But after a coup d'etat in 1964, Brazil became something other than democratic, a military dictatorship, which ruled for the next two decades. So when a new populist right-wing leader with military ties emerges in the 2010s, many Brazilians were wary of democracy falling again. But Jair Bolsonaro is different, a politician who changes his power base when he forged ties with evangelical Christians. Apocalypse in the Tropics traces Brazilian politics over the past decade and the rise in religion within government policies. It uses beautiful period footage, lush music, and symbolic paintings like Hieronymus Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights as a metaphoric portrayal of millenarian changes in Brazilian politics. It's narrated by the filmmaker and includes exclusive one-on-one interviews that she had with Bolsonaro, his rival, the current president, Lula, and a wildly popular televangelist, Silas Malafaia, who serves as Bolsonaro's right-hand man. We get to witness his speeches around before crowds, as well as private conversations aboard his private plane. He shouts his opposition to same-sex marriage, abortion rights, and feminism, and you can see the influence he has had on the previous government. Doc also shows new footage of the beloved and hated by some capital, Brasilia, occupied and trashed by massive demonstrators calling for a coup after Bolsonaro's defeat. Apocalypse in the Tropics is a follow-up to Petra Costa's 2019 film, The Edge of Democracy, with similar footage, style, and topic, but concentrating this time more on religion's role. I'm not sure if this is a sequel, a reshoot, or a continuation of the previous doc, but either way, it's aesthetically beautiful and politically disturbing. We Were Dangerous, written and directed by Josephine Stewart Tehuiu. It's the 1950s on a small island somewhere off the coast of New Zealand where three girls share a little cabin. Daisy, Nellie, and Lou, played by Manaya Hall, Irana James, and Natalie Morris. They were sent there by the authorities or their parents. Te Motu is a school for incorrigible girls, or as administrators call them, quote, whores, queers, delinquents, and sexual deviants, unquote. Many are orphans or runaways caught stealing food, like Daisy or Nellie. Lou is the exception. She comes from a rich family, but was caught making out with her female tutor. That's why she's there. The school operates under the strict rule of Matron, played by Rima Tewiata, who has a cruel streak a mile long. Raised by nuns, she feels the only way to cure these girls' bad attitudes is through the Bible and the lash. Naturally, the girls all want to get the hell out of there, but it's hard to escape from an isolated island in the South Pacific. The purpose of the school is to turn bad girls into happy homemakers. So they're given lessons in diction and manners and etiquette, but not reading or math. So Matron is frustrated by their outcome. She says they're too stupid for school, too uncivilized to be maids, and too barbaric to work. Every so often, Matron is visited by men in suits from the mainland, one of whom suggests a horrifying treatment. But when Nellie finds out, the three girls decide they have to do something to stop it. We Were Dangerous is a moving, coming-of-age story about girls surviving in 1950s New Zealand. It's bright and exuberant, full of playfulness and dancing, haka and history. And though fictional, it tackles the very real issue of the mistreatment of Indigenous girls. The acting is excellent all around, full of subtle clues and delightful details. For a first film, Stuart Tehuiu avoids many potential stumbles and instead gives us a solid film that's fun to watch. It played at Imaginative this year and is definitely worth a look. Apocalypse in the Tropic is playing this weekend at Hot Docs and will be streaming on Netflix this coming week. Daniela Forever opens this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. And We Were Dangerous is available now on video on demand. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.